Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane season left a trail of destruction in its wake, causing hundreds of fatalities and more than $200 billion in damages. Supercomputers at the Texas Advanced Computing Center, Vista, Frontera, Stampede 3, and Lone Star 6 are used for urgent computing to meet the needs of emergency responders with rapid and frequently updated simulations of storm surge, the often deadly rise in sea level and coastal flooding from big storms and hurricanes. On the podcast today to talk about TAC's role in storm surge simulations is TAC staff scientist Carlos Del Castillo Negrete, a research associate in the High Performance Computing Group. Dr. Del Castillo Negrete, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Would you speak to some of the ways that TAC systems and the expertise here at the University of Texas at Austin is being used to generate forecasts that ultimately help state agencies such as the Texas Division of Emergency Management and others in Louisiana, North Carolina, all working to protect lives and property?
Yeah, it really was a record-breaking hurricane season this year. And here at TAC, we've continued lots of collaborations between these agencies and research institutions to provide resources for running these forecasting models. So it's really providing access to our state-of-the-art facilities and compute resources to these research agencies that run models that are developed here at UT Austin under the director of Professor Clint Dawson. He helps develop a lot of these main models, mainly the ADCIRC model. And here at TAC, we continue developing better and faster systems for them to run these models on. And we help them provide them priority access on our queues so that whenever a storm is going to hit, they can provide operational forecasts as soon as the newest weather forecasts are available. So an ensemble of new weather forecasts with new trajectories for hurricane paths will be received on a semi-regular schedule when a projected hurricane comes in. And immediately those forecasts launch jobs on our systems that run forecasts to predict how much is going to flood and can provide other agencies with information for them to respond upon. So it's really just access to our state-of-the-art facilities and consultation on how to best run the best models on our systems now so we can get fast and operational forecasts to those who need to make decisions.
Could you help us describe what an operational forecast is? Like, what goes into that?
Yeah, so within an operational forecast, you'll have weather forecasting information that'll come from other agencies that we then ingest within our storm surge models. And that usually consists of different hurricane tracks, which will be sometimes these spaghetti diagrams you see that show the different potential paths of the hurricane, but they also create wind fields as well. And with those, we force our storm surge models that try to predict, you know, what areas it's going to flood and by how much. That information is then provided to decision makers, and that's what we call an operational forecast, in which they can then decide what areas should be evacuated or not, depending on what the forecast, projected forecasts look for the regions. And really, TAC stands at the backbone there to provide the compute resources necessary to not just compute those forecasts, but also have places to share that data and provide that data for other people to look at.
Would you like to speak more specifically, like what systems are being used at TAC? Give us an idea of like how many people here at TAC are working on these things.
Here at TAC, we most recently, our new Stampede 3 system that came into production at the beginning of this year, that's perhaps the most recent system that is making an impact this year, because a lot of forecasts now are being running on Stampede 3, which has been an extremely fast machine to run these kind of weather models on, especially with its higher memory bandwidth, which tends to be what limits a lot of these storm surge models. But yeah, Stampede 3 has really been the machine that has been in high operation this year in the forecasting season. And for using something like Stampede 3, whenever we incorporate a new machine, you know, TAC is really involved with helping to compile and build the models that are necessary on these new machines, optimize their performance so that they run the fastest. And in a space like a weather forecasting, as you may understand, you know, the idea of running forecasts faster really allow us to run these models on more refined grids so we get better results and more undetailed forecasts faster, which can mean saving lives in these kind of situations. So really every machine we put out at TAC and we use in the forecasting cycle has a huge impact. And that's the kind of work that we try to help do here at TAC. And we do it in conjunction with, you know, investigators at UT Austin, at Notre Dame, and a lot of these other researchers that are developing these models. Because at the beginning of every hurricane season, we'll assess, okay, what are the best models right now for the operational forecasting model? What are the best grids? What are the most refined meshes, computational meshes under which to compute? And decisions are made in terms of what operational model should be used for the forecasting that year. But every year, the researchers go and improve those models, incorporate more physics, make the meshes finer, make the model run faster, you know, and all those things are incorporated and then used in the next year's operational forecasting cycle. And here at TAC, we provide kind of a central place for those models to be developed and ran.
Yeah, and that demand, I imagine, is coming from these state agencies who want to get down to the nitty-gritty of, like, what street is being affected by flooding, you know, and what street isn't. And they need these kind of details. And could you also maybe speak to the speed? I think I heard it was in like 15 minutes that some of these forecasts are generated.
It can really vary in terms of the first barrier is obviously how often we receive updated forecasts of the hurricane track, which usually is on a six-hour basis. And given those, we launch a whole sequence of jobs, or really it's Jason Fleming's team at Seahorse Consulting that operates a lot of these forecasts on demand. And they'll be up at like 3 a.m. or whenever these forecasts are coming in. It's a cool but tough job there that they do because they're operationally making sure these jobs run, et cetera. But given any one of these ADCERC forecasting models may run somewhere between 15 minutes to an hour in a given region or grid. It depends really on how refined the computational grid we're using and on what region of the United States we're using. But as I said, as we get faster models and systems, right, it really increases the area under which we can do more computation and do more forecasting. I know recently as well, we've been running more models as well on the western coast, something that traditionally hasn't happened. But as we've seen some flooding events out on the western coast in recent years, it's something that has traditionally never been done. Usually we just run the models around the eastern coast or in the Gulf Coast, et cetera. But now we have not only more resources and ability to run those because they run faster, but also the necessity, right? So really the computational demands of running these models is also being pushed by the increased severity of them due to climate change. So really, it's some remarkable work being done there to keep pace as well with these increasingly intense storms we're seeing.
Did you have anything to add about the storm surge forecasts? These aren't just put together here by people at TAC, but there's Clint Dawson of the UT Austin Odin Institute Department of Aerospace Engineering and Engineering Mechanics, and there's also, as you mentioned, Jason Fleming of Seahorse Coastal Consulting.
There's also Carola Kaiser, I believe, from CIRA as well, Coastal Emergency Risk Assessment. And really, it's a combination of expertise is going on there, right? We'll work with like the NOAA or other weather agencies. We'll put out the actual weather forecasts of the wind models, right? But in the storm surging game, we're in the business of modeling the ocean on the coastline, right? How much that wind is going to push up the water on the coast, right? These three teams are working in consulting in conjunction where really at with Clint Dawson's team at UT Austin and, you know, the teams at Notre Dame as well. And they're really, like I said, pushing the model on the side of the research side of creating better models and trying to figure out, you know, more physics to incorporate and trying to run these models on more refined meshes. And Clint Dawson's expertise really comes in with determining which of those models are best for the operational forecasting that then the Seahorse Coastal Consulting team then goes and implements these operational computational workflows that are very non-trivial because they're very redundant as well. And they run these jobs on multiple supercomputing systems, not here just at TAC, but at LSU as well, I believe, to try to make sure we have some redundancy in the computation and can have, if one machine goes down or one system goes down, et cetera, we can still have an operational forecast. And then the CIRA team is really good at taking that data that comes out of these models and then creating these visualizations, right? The CIRA portal is a really popular one that's getting a lot of traffic. It got a lot of traffic this hurricane season because it provides a very cool interface of the American coastline and the forecast as they operationally come in. And there you can operationally see as a hurricane is going to hit, what the newest forecast says, and how is that forcing the storm surge models and what the expected storm surge is in certain regions for an event. So it's really the coordination of these teams and a lot of people on each side that make these forecasts possible. at the end of the day.
One of the big focuses for TAC is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. We're building new systems, Vista, Stampede 3, as you mentioned, has as a sizable GPU graphics processing units that are specifically made for artificial intelligence. Clint Dawson has talked about machine learning playing a bigger role in speeding up, refining, as you mentioned, the Coastal Emergency Risk Assessment, CERA, storm surge simulations. Can you talk about how some of these new systems attack, these AI-heavy systems, Vista? Ultimately, the big one for us coming is Horizon. Could you talk about how the machine learning capabilities are helping some of these scientists?
For sure, yeah. I think the machine learning and AI research right now is poised to really make a huge impact, and especially the weather forecasting area. Mainly because these models that we run right now for forecasting rely on a lot of computational power to run, and they take time, as we discussed. As our systems get faster, we can run them faster. But really, if we want to run ensembles of these forecasts that try to do more elaborate things like quantify the uncertainty around our predictions and stuff like that, we need to run more of these simulations. And AI and ML research is showing us ways to accelerate these traditional computational science simulations so that we can run potentially 100 of them in the time that it would take us to run only one of them, you know, or even more as these AI ML models become better. And that's where really a lot of the research is going, is how do we create a reliable surrogate model or even a digital twin of our real-world system using an AI ML system, right? And using that system, how do we further predict what forecast there may be in a faster manner. Now, to create those models and to train those models, you need very large systems of GPUs, of systems that can train on a large amount of data that we have, because we've been running these computational simulations for a long time at TAC. So we have a lot of computational simulation data, but these new systems are going to give us the ability to train now these models. To train, you know, Vista and especially Horizon is going to be an incredible system to kind of train these foundational science models to kind of, you know, use our breadth and our wealth of computational simulation data to train some really impactful ML models that can then be used in a more operational way. Now, the path of that is really an exciting one, that a lot of active research is being done right now, because there's a lot of questions asked, how much can we trust an AI and ML model, especially in the operational forecasting scenario? But there's a huge push there, and I firmly believe it's going to be a cornerstone of our forecasting capabilities in the future, is going to be systems like Vista and Horizon that provide us the capability to spit out these really quick forecasts that quantify uncertainty as well, and can also help us, you know, distribute models to other regions that tend to not have as much computational simulation done, right? Because you still need, you know, a lot of simulation power to produce a forecast for a certain areas that don't have as much computational resources. Other countries, other areas of the world can potentially see benefit from AI ML models that can produce quick forecasts with less computational resources. So yeah, I think, you know, a system like Vista and Horizon is really where this kind of space is trending towards too, and I'm really excited for where it's going to take us.
Yeah, that does sound really exciting. That TAC is playing a role in training these models for science. I'm getting to my NERI question. TAC is a part of NERI, the Natural Hazards Engineering Research Infrastructure Design Safe project, funded by the National Science Foundation. We provide computational resources and services, I guess mainly along the lines of working with data in hazards data and making that data more accessible to the research community. Can you talk about Design Safe, and what are some of the ways that Design Safe is supporting these storm surge simulations we've been talking about?
Design Safe is a remarkable project, I think, that I've been associated with for a while now. And yeah, as you described, it's come as a great computational resource and a cyber infrastructure for natural hazards research engineering. And as you mentioned, it really becomes a place to share data and provide computational tools and access to computational simulation time on TAC for running either simulations or processing data related to any kind of natural hazards like earthquake. It started originally with earthquake hazards, and the project spun off from there to do, you know, tsunamis, wind incidents, storm surge, stuff like that. And for the storm surge community, I think it's really great because it's something that in the storm surge research there perhaps before DesignSafe wasn't the best way to share research or data related to it or simulational data related to storm surge models. And these are particularly important for people in the civil engineering space or the natural hazards engineering space that need to create resilient infrastructure for the future, you know, and that's a big drive behind DesignSafe is connecting these communities. To the work we do with operational forecasting and hurricane forecasting is we really provide a lot of the data that we have that we've run from the models on DesignSafe and we publish that data there. And that data is invaluable to downstream researchers or engineers that then use that data to incorporate, to inform their models and to understand better how storms are impacting our coasts. That informs them in ways they can better build better civil infrastructure and more reliant infrastructure because really forecasting these models is just part one of how we create a more resilient community around, you know, impending natural hazards and disasters. We have to also know how to create infrastructure and response systems that actually know how to respond to these forecasts. Because if we just say, hey, there's a storm coming, but no one knows how to respond to that storm, that's a problem. So DesignSafe is a great community to kind of share and collaborate more of that research and cross those interdisciplinary bounds where our forecasting or even our research work within these storm surge models can then be shared with other researchers that they think they take our research and use it in all sorts of other kind of ways. So DesignSafe is a great community and an excellent example of how the cyber infrastructure that TAC builds really, really helps foster a research community that wouldn't be possible otherwise.
What's the most important thing that you'd like people to know by using supercomputers to help society respond to hurricanes?
I think the most important thing I'd like people to know is that it's been happening for a long time, that behind a lot of the forecasts you see and you have seen for the past 15 years have been a massive team of researchers, investigators, engineers, software developers that have worked across a variety of institutions for a while. And TAC's been a part of that team for a really long time now. It's a set of remarkable people. I think that's what really makes, you know, a lot of this work possible, right? People who really care about the impact that their work has and how, you know, through the science and the research we carry here, the resources we provide here, we can, you know, make an impact in the world. I think that's something remarkable about TAC that doesn't get said as often as it should. And I think there's a lot of exciting areas where we're taking this. You know, we're emphasizing this a ton in our work, and the usability of our systems is huge there.
Well, Dr. Del Castillo, Negrete, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Carlos Del Castillo Negrete of TAC. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.